I've been going through Romans for several months now, off and on, bringing little bits and pieces to you from Romans, and I'm up into Romans 12, and Romans 12 has a little segment on the gifts in the body of Christ, and I've been meditating on Romans 12, verse 6, for several weeks, the phrase, having gifts that differ. Just that phrase. The Lord has been showing me some things, and I've been meditating on just this idea that we have gifts that differ. God has given us different gifts. And so that's kind of the in the background of what I'm going to be sharing this morning, which this morning I'm going to be looking more at Ephesians chapter 4, which also talks about the gifts in the body of Christ. And we're not going to have any PowerPoint for this, so if you have your electronic Bibles or your traditional printed on paper Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. Speaking of Christ, it says, He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Lord, I pray that this morning that You would edify us in our hearts. Build us up, Lord, in our faith, in our knowledge, in our capacity, Lord, to not only understand, but to do Your will and be pleasing to You. We depend on You for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have some notes here that I wrote out looking at this passage and looking especially at verse 16, where it talks about how the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And that phrase, what every joint supplies, was another phrase that the Lord was really putting on my heart and mind actually a few months ago, and I was meditating on. And so these are some notes, and I'm just going to start into them, and I don't know if I'll get to the end of them. But I'm not going to try and get to the end of them. If time runs out, then time runs out, and we'll leave off wherever I end up. Church, and this follows along with my message a few weeks ago, and church as you know it is over. Church has been done a certain way for a long time. We followed certain patterns. But the question is, are these God's patterns or are they man's patterns? You know, God told Moses regarding the tabernacle that he needed to do everything according to the pattern or the vision that you were shown on the mountain. Do it exactly the way you saw it, the way God showed it to you. There was a pattern. And this tabernacle was to be God's dwelling place among Israel. And it serves as an example of the church, or a type of the church. Are we building according to a heavenly pattern revealed by God, or is it an earthly pattern? What is God's design for the church? And if we look at church history, we see that from way back in the 3rd and 4th centuries and on through the so-called Dark Ages and the Middle Ages, that church began to be done a certain way. A very structured hierarchy was built up, a very formalized institution. And we still see that institution today in the Roman Catholic Church and in the various branches of the Eastern Orthodox churches. Now, the fact that we are here today in this setting, in a Protestant, evangelical, charismatic church setting, indicates that we're probably all in agreement that that way of doing things, very structured and hierarchical, isn't what God intended. Just the fact we're here probably indicates that we're of that mindset. That's probably not what God wanted. And yet, despite the Reformation, and despite all the revivals and all the awakenings of the last few centuries, have we really moved very far away from that model? Have we really gotten back to God's design? You know, things might be packaged a little differently. We might have different varieties and flavors, but isn't it still kind of at the heart the same thing? A few people up on top get all the attention, and get treated like the Pope. And then there's everyone else. Still the priesthood and the laity model. A few gifted individuals, few privileged individuals, everyone else is just the ordinary church people who sit in the pews, do what they're told, give their money to support the organization. Now, in the charismatic church, we've had a lot of talk over the years about the fivefold ministries that we just read about there in Ephesians 4. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. But that's kind of all we do, is we read the first part of that verse, and then we enshrine those individuals, especially apostles and prophets. We put them right up there with the Pope. Isn't that kind of what happens? They're all special. They're really great. And the rest of us are just kind of ordinary. And we miss the whole thrust of that passage. It's kind of like going to build a building, and you build one wall, And then you just sit next to your wall. Exposed to the elements. There was a local church, I won't say which one, but it's out in this direction from here, a little bit outside of town. They had a building plan. They were going to enlarge. They built on a big gymnasium and everything, their church and classrooms and different things. And then they were going to enlarge their sanctuary, but they ran out of money. They had a slab poured, but they didn't have money to continue with that part of the project. And so what they did was they put up a partial stud wall on that slab. The reason being is they needed to show the powers that be, in order to keep their building license active, that there was something going on. And so for 2 or 3 years, there was just this stud wall sitting there, out in the open, serving no purpose that was discernible other than it was keeping their license active with whoever regulates those things. And at least once, that wall blew over in a storm and had to be propped back up. Now, since they've gone on and completed that project. But at the time, I thought it looked kind of ridiculous. Whatever the intentions were, it just looked ridiculous. But is that where we're at as a church? As the larger body of Christ? Are we propping up this little framework and we're nowhere near ready for the big storm? Well, the scripture here says that when Christ ascended, among the things that happened after his resurrection, he gave gifts to men. He gave out gifts to men. And we believe that this is talking about the Pentecostal pouring out of the Holy Spirit and through the Spirit giving individual spiritual gifts to each one of his people. Gifts that come in the form of abilities, talents, ministries, to each member of the body of Christ. And some, but not all, some he gave to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, pastors, teachers. Now, the construction of the Greek in this passage indicates that he didn't just give a gift of apostleship to a man, but he gave a man to be an apostle. The man is the gift. The man is given to serve and function in this capacity or office. And I use the word office carefully because you run into that word, the office of apostle, the office of prophet. But this isn't an office that you go to and work at for 8 hours and then you leave and you go home. This is an office that is all the time, 24/7. You are the office. You are the apostle or the prophet, so forth, if that's what Christ has given. Again, this is where we stop a lot of times. We glorify these fivefold ministries, these offices. We build shrines to them. We compare them. We try to figure out who's more or better than the others. We try to line up with the ones we think are the most authentic. I'm with Paul. I'm with Apollos. I'm with Peter. I'm above them all. I'm with Christ. That kind of thinking. Corinthians weren't the only ones who had problems with that. But the passage doesn't stop there. The passage goes on. There's more to this pattern, more to this vision. As these gifts, these men, are given for something, for the equipping of the saints. The apostles, the prophets, the pastors, teachers, evangelists, they have a job to do. And that job is not to be, and for some reason I put this in quotes in my notes. I don't know if I was quoting from something or I just thought it was so good it had to be in quotes. Their job is not to be recognized and lauded and told how great they are. That's not their job. Their job is to do something for the saints, which is all the believers. To equip the saints, or King James Version, perfect the saints. The Greek word there, dug into it a little bit. I won't tell you what the Greek is because I can't pronounce all of the Greek, but to equip the saints, to perfect the saints, means to complete furnishing or equipping. It has to do with strengthening or perfecting of the soul, and that comes through training and disciplining and instructing. And the root idea here is to render complete, to put in order or adjust, to fit or frame something. There's that building idea in there. Ultimately, to make one what he or she ought to be. To make you what you ought to be. So that's the job of the fivefold gifts, to train, to discipline, instruct the saints, to put you in order, adjust you, frame you up, mend you, repair you if necessary, essentially to make you what you ought to be. So then the question is, what ought you to be? What ought you to be? Our word, equip, in English, means to provide someone with tools and the knowledge of how to use those tools in order to do a specific task, to do something. And as it turns out, there is something for the saints to do. The saints are to do the work of ministry. Equip the saints to do the work of ministry. You know what that means? Who are the saints? All the believers. It means that apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are not the only ministers. The guy in the pulpit is not the only minister. You're all ministers. To minister simply means to serve, to do something useful. You're all called to be in the ministry. And what is the work of ministry in the body of Christ? The work of ministry is to edify or build up the body of Christ. That's the work. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Perfect there meaning finished, lacking nothing, full grown, mature. Or in other words, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How's that for a tall order? That's the work. That's the job description. The responsibility of the saints is to grow up the body of Christ in love until we attain perfection. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And if you study the Greek in that passage there, Paul uses five Greek words. And I didn't even bother to write out what they were. I just noted there were five Greek words that all have to do with completeness, maturity, fullness, perfection, something finished, something that is the absolute totality of what it is meant and designed to be. And for the church, what we are meant to be is to be like Christ. He's the standard. He's the goal, to be like Him. So, are we close to being there? We're probably just that far away, right? Some of us have already got there and we're just waiting for the rest. No. When we look at the church in its present state, with all the divisions, all the controversies, all the problems, it doesn't exactly suggest the unity and the maturity that Paul was writing about, that God desires. So there's a serious question that those of us who are in the fivefold ministries need to ask ourselves. And when I wrote this paragraph, my notes, I was thinking about, you know, if I was ever in front of a whole bunch of fivefold ministers, but I'm not at the moment. But this is the question we have to ask ourselves. Are the saints being equipped by the way we're doing things? Are they being properly framed and fitted for their job description? Is what we're doing serving to equip them? We have all this talk about being prophetic and apostolic. Is all that talk really equipping anyone to do the work, the real work? And if you boil down, what is the real work? The real work is to love one another in many different and varying ways, with all the gifts God has given us, to love one another. So the fivefold ministry, we have to ask ourselves, how are we doing? Are we passing or failing the test? Are we getting where we need to be getting? Are people loving one another? Are the saints doing the work of ministry, or are they just spinning their wheels to support the organizations and structures and going to the conferences and all of that stuff? Is the body of Christ reaching Christ-statured maturity, still in the nursery, being babied, badgered around. In an infantile state because of the fivefold ministries, selfish need for attention and adulation. That's what it comes down to. So, do we really want to pattern ourselves according to the vision that God has shown in the Scripture? Do we really want that? Because it is easier to maintain the system that's already in place. Change is always hard and difficult. It's easier to just keep doing what we've always been doing. Certainly easier if a few gifted people do everything and everyone else just sits and watches and applauds than to actually begin training people and handing them the tools and trusting they'll do it right. And maybe they won't get it right all. But we have to look at what God wants. Can you imagine a school that never graduated anybody? A training program that never put anyone in a job. How would you evaluate that? Or a family that never let your kids grow up? The church isn't supposed to be a perpetual nursery of infants being lorded over by this spiritual elite. The fivefold gifts are to serve the body by helping the members take responsibility for their own maturity, not supposed to repress the body for their own glorification. Does that make sense? But not all the blame can go on the fivefold gifts. I don't want to suggest that. We all have to ask, do we really want to do the work of ministry? Because it is tough to equip people to do something they don't want to do. Do you want to minister? Do you have a passion for it? Paul was writing his letter to the Corinthians, addressing all their different problems. He mentions one household in Corinth, the household of Stephanas. And he says that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They have, in the Greek, attached themselves. They have stationed themselves, assigned themselves, appointed themselves to serve the saints. And Paul just points them out as an example to follow. This one household that decided, we're not waiting around to be served, we're going to serve others. You know, that's how it is when there's work to be done. Some people see what needs to be done and they get right to it. Other people have to be told what to do. And of those who have to be told what to do, some say, oh yes, now I see, I'll get right to it. And they jump on it. And others, well, I don't really want to do that. The household of Stephanas was right on the task. and couldn't wait to get to serving others. They were eager. They were addicted to it. They had to do it. They loved doing it. Well, whether we want to or not, the body of Christ will not be everything God wants us to be until we start building and growing according to His pattern. Favor and skip over about two pages of notes there. This phrase having to do with that which every joint supplies seems to me to be really important. And I started asking myself, well, what are the joints? What do the joints supply in the body of Christ? The whole body, it says, is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. What are the joints? What is a joint? I mean, look at your body. What was Paul talking about? The joints. What exactly is a joint? What part of your body is that? I mean, there's a, you know, you have your elbow, but your wrists, and you have different, your knees and hips, and well, what exactly is a joint? What I began to see is that a joint is a coming together of parts. A joint isn't actually a part, it's a coming together of parts, a confluence of parts. It's a meeting of members. It's a place of connection. And it's a way in which parts interact and function together. I have a big fancy word here, interoperability. It's how parts meet and fit together and rub on each other and push and pull on each other and respond to each other and limit each other. It's a set of specifications, as it were, that determines how the parts move and how they relate and what their proper range of motion is and what their capabilities are. Does that make sense? So in the physical body, a joint isn't really a single part. It's an operation of several parts. It's a relationship between parts. It's a cooperative and combined functioning. So it's dynamic, it's multifaceted, but it's a point of contact around which many parts function, do specific things together. See, a part can't do much by itself. If you just take your forearm and lay it out there by itself, it can't do much. And you take your upper arm by itself, it can't do much. But if you connect them together with an elbow and a shoulder, and then things can happen. So joints don't do the work, but they enable and empower and equip the parts or the partners to do the work. They define the range of motion and determine the action that happens as each part participates. I began to see some similarities here between the joints and the fivefold ministry. Equipping the saints, that which every joint supplies. And again, to see this picture in the body of Christ. It's not a picture of a top-down hierarchy, but of joints that are spread out and distributed throughout the body and distributed strategically to enable the total mature functioning of the body. See a picture there? It's not a top-down hierarchy. Joints, connections, distributed throughout to enable the functioning of the body. And there's a picture in the Old Testament that we can study for some comparison and contrast. In Numbers chapter 18, verses 6 and 7, is talking about the Levites and the position that the Levites had in the nation of Israel. And the Lord says, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. They are a gift to you. They are a gift to you, to the rest of you, given by the Lord to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Therefore, you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood, and you shall serve. I give your priesthood to you as a gift for service. So the Levites were given to the rest of Israel. The fivefold gifts are given to the body of Christ. The Levites were given to do the work of the tabernacle, which enabled men to meet with God. The fivefold gifts are given to equip the saints to do the work of ministry so that the church might be the dwelling place of God, a spiritual tabernacle. The Levites were not a hierarchy, but they did have different spheres of responsibility divided up by families. And they served in turns by lot. They drew straws, in other words. And initially, when they were dealing with the tabernacle, they had jobs that had to do with taking down the tent, moving the tent, transporting it, setting it up again, a whole bunch of things related to the tabernacle. Later, in the temple, they had jobs as gatekeepers, scribes, treasurers, carpenters, janitors, musicians, and teachers. A wide range of responsibilities. And they assisted the priests in all the practical aspects of the things the priest did, except for a few of the duties in the holy place. And the Levites were distributed in towns throughout Israel. They did not have their own tribal territory, but they were given towns throughout the other tribes. And they had the responsibility of receiving the tithe of Israel's produce. And they themselves tithed to the priests and gave of the tithe to the poor. So some responsibilities that they had, but they were distributed throughout the nation to do those things. Similarly, the fivefold ministry is not a hierarchy. Contrary to some teaching, they're not a hierarchy. They have different spheres of responsibility distributed throughout the body. And they equip the saints to do practical things. But they don't do a man's worship or service for him. They don't do it all for you. They do tend to receive the tithe of the church and themselves tithe to God and give to others. Just to make some further comparisons there. The Levites and the priests in Israel were set apart, but the Scripture says we are all set apart. That's the meaning of the word saints. You are all called to be saints, Paul says. And Peter says we are all a royal priesthood. In contrast to Israel, in the church, we are all a royal priesthood. And so the admonishment that comes to us in the church, when we read about the Levites there, is you shall attend to your priesthood and you shall serve. That's the command of the Lord. You shall attend to your priesthood and you shall serve. Your priesthood, your servanthood, your sainthood, your belonging in the body is given to you as a gift for service. We all have gifts. And in that sense, we are all given in order to serve others. Not just the fivefold. The fivefold are given to help you discover how you are given to serve. Our work is to enable you to work. Our job is to get you on the job. Not as lording it over you, but as serving you, assisting you, giving you your range of motion, arranging you together in the most effective partnerships, harnessing, if I dare use any word that speaks of restrictions or control, but harnessing your diversities into constructive cooperation in a unified vision, teaching you how to be the best body you can be. Coordinating efforts from different directions and angles into harmonious actions and results. Providing for both stability and fluidity. That's what joints do. Buffering and cushioning the impact and the grinding and the wear and tear. Turning potential conflicts into new forms and directions of cooperation. How do you like that? Now, if the joints all cluster together in their own camps and clumps and divide up the body for their own purposes and fight with each other, it's no wonder that the body of Christ is so disjointed today and so immature and ineffective in the world. and why so many parts are not doing their share. Our denominational hierarchical structure, that model is all wrong. The body is meant to have a body structure with joints distributed throughout, with form following function. And that's my signal to wrap it up here. The structure should serve the task at hand. We need a dynamic model with fluid capabilities stabilized by relationships and a common loyalty of all members to the head. We take our orders from him. All our activity guided by him. All being done to serve him, love him, glorify him. So that's what I'm seeing about the body of Christ right now. And I'm setting the stage so I can go on to Romans chapter 12, verses 6, 7, and 8, and talk about the gifts of the body that are talked about in that passage, and actually talk about some specific things about specific gifts and how they fit into this picture. Lord, I pray, help us on our journey. Help us in all the things we do here. Lord, if we don't even realize where we fall short sometimes. But when we get a glimpse, Lord, help us to go in the right direction, make some good progress. We just ask in Jesus' name. Amen.